Welcome in to Vern's Post Game Show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, let's have some fun on a Wednesday night. Happy night. Right? Oh, you got to be smiling after this one. 7-1, the final score. Royals win the game. They take the series on the south side. They thoroughly outplay the White Sox. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's the same number if you just want to shoot me a text. 913-586-7610. And sure, we could play the hits. Right, we could talk Salvi and the greatness of number 13. We could talk Bobby Witt Jr. Two more hits, two more stolen bases. The 23-year-old just continues to impress. But three names stand out to me from this 7-1 win. Now, again, we can go wherever you want to go. We can talk offseason. We can talk 2024. We can reminisce about the last time the Royals won a series on the standable. It was nearly 4 months ago. It was in San Diego against the Padres. Do you remember that series? I barely do. I'm pretty sure Chris Bubich pitched in that series. That's how long ago it was. Nonetheless, the Royals take the series and again win the season series from the White Sox for the third time in 5 years. But three names stand out to me from this 7-1 Royals victory. Two of them on the mound, one of them in the lineup. Steven Cruz, the 24-year-old right-hander that opened the game. Alec Marsh, the 25-year-old right-hander that served as the bulk pitcher. And then Nick Lofton, one of those 24-year-olds I talk about nightly in the lineup. Those are the three stars in my mind. Now, again, the stars of the season, Bobby, Salvi, Michael Garcia, all three of them, solid nights. Now, I understand, Michael Garcia went 0-for-4, but had a solid defensive showcase at the hot corner. I want to know who has your attention. I gave you my three names, Cruz, Marsh, and Lofton. Now, the reason why I'm not talking Bobby, Salvi, Michael is because we're all in agreement. I know we're all in agreement on Salvi. He's a future Royals Hall of Famer. I think we're all in agreement that Bobby is now past the perennial big leaguer. He's now to the point of in between multi-time all-star and perennial all-star. I think we're all in agreement that that's the level Bobby has ascended to. I think Michael Garcia, I think we all agree he's a big leaguer. He's a consistent big leaguer. He's a guy that you can rely on for the next 3, 4, or 5 seasons to give you a solid plate appearance and play a solid defense. Those guys don't interest me. Over the final 15 games. I want them to stay healthy. I want them to finish off their tremendous campaigns and take some confidence into the offseason, sure, but they don't interest me. What interests me down the stretch is how much confidence can Alec Marsh take into the offseason? How much can Nick Lofton change the plans of this front office in the offseason? And what can Steven Cruz mean to this bullpen moving forward? A bullpen that we all agree needs help. He looked pretty good in those first two frames. In fact, Cruz and Marsh tonight combined to throw 6 1/3 innings of 1-run baseball. 1 run on 5 hits, 9 strikeouts, and 2 walks. It's pretty when it all comes together like this. The opener and the bulk guy, 6 1/3 innings of 1-run baseball. Alec Marsh had the sweeper on point, and how about that at bat, that battle with Gavin Sheets, the final batter that he faces, the 18th man to stand in the box against him tonight. A 13-pitch battle ends with Alec Marsh pumping 94 past the left-handed hitting Gavin Sheets. Nice night for Marsh. Steven Cruz ramping it up to near 100 miles per hour. A pair of nasty strikeouts with a slider. In total, 2 innings, 2 hits, 4 strikeouts. Solid stuff for Cruz in his first ever big league start. And then Nick Lofton. Lofton's now appeared in 9 games. He's hitting .345. He has 10 hits in those 9 games. 6 of those 10 hits have gone for extra bases. He's driven in 6 runs, and he himself has scored 6 runs. And a 10-pitch battle in the 7th inning highlights Nick Lofton's night. He comes to the dish. Now, at this point, keep in mind, it's a two-nothing game. So this is 7th inning. Royals took a 2-0 lead in the 2nd inning, but it's still 2-0 there in the 7th. And Nick Lofton comes to the dish as a pinch hitter and singles without even really his hands on the bat. He singles, just kind of bloops it over Tim Anderson's head at shortstop. With 2 on and 1 out, he singles after a 10-pitch battle with Ramsey, the righty reliever out of the White Sox bullpen. Apparently, hearing Nick Lofton talk, that was his 2nd pinch hit appearance ever. Not just in the big leagues. You got to imagine Nick Lofton's always been one of the best players on his team. You don't pinch hit very often. You're normally in the game. He said that was his 2nd ever pinch hit situation of his life. And it's a 10-pitch battle ending in an RBI knock. Impressive night for Nick Lofton, for Alec Marsh, and Steven Cruz. I'm curious, who has your attention tonight? Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Same as the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
1 ball, no strikes. Clevinger deals. Massey drives it deep to right field. Sheets is back onto the track at the fence. Leaps. It's gone. Michael Massey does it again.
Jake Eisenberg on the call. Yeah, this is unbelievable. Michael Massey, 2-run blast there in the 2nd inning, puts the Royals in front 2-0. They would never trail in this game. They'd go on to win 7-1. They take the series and pick up win number 46 on the season. Michael Massey, a 2-run blast there in the 2nd inning, his 13th of the season. 6 of those 13 have come against the team he grew up cheering for, the White Sox. Now, that's bananas. They only play Chicago 13 times all season. Now, today was the 13th time, and he has 6 home runs? And I don't think he's played in all 13 games. 10. Tonight was the 11th, so he's got 6 home runs in 11 games against the Southsiders. That was his 3rd home run in his last 6 games, and his 2nd career home run off of Mike Clevinger. Yeah, Michael Massey, a 1-0 cookie in the middle of the plate. He gives it a ride over the right field wall, a 2-0 lead. Royals would score 3 in the 7th as Nick Lofton, Bobby Witt Jr., and Salvador Perez all plate runs. Salvi would drive in another in the 9th inning. Nick Lofton would drive in another in the 9th inning as well. Salvi became the 6th hitter in Royals history to reach 800 RBI and became the 7th player in franchise history to reach 1,400 base hits. All right, Royals win 7-1. Let's go to John in Mission. John, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Always appreciate it, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I wonder if John Sherman's bringing a tape measure to the White Sox stadium to see if he can get those measurements put in his next new stadium.
Because they won there?
Yeah, it seems pretty good for home runs, huh?
Yeah, yeah, apparently.
I had a question. Is there any update on John McMillan, the whammer?
Yeah, he's probably, I mean, he's shut down for the season. It's a forearm issue. You're just going to wrap that up and have him ready to go for spring training next year.
And then for minor league talk and maybe some optimism, I know that they tried to transition Beckway and TJ Sikkema to the bullpen. Are there any other prospects that were maybe starters that they'll think about transitioning into bullpen for next year that we should know about? Maybe Veneziano or Hoffman or Noah Cameron, Chandler Champlain, some of those guys?
Sure.
I'll take the rest of the question off the air.
Yeah, John, appreciate it. Way to stay locked into the boys in blue, knowing those names down there in the minor leagues. John, I love you, man. That was great. Beck Way, you've seen, they've even moved him back, not to the rotation, not to a true starting role, but you've seen him open games down the stretch. Because, you know, I don't want to liken him to Alec Marsh, but like Alec Marsh, there's something there, right? You don't want to wave the white flag on an arm that good just yet. And when I say wave the white flag, I mean like what you did with Carlos Hernandez, where, all right, days of you as a starting pitcher are no more. You're a reliever. Maybe you can be a closer, but we know you're at least a reliever. That's how I feel about Alec Marsh. I'm not giving up on him as a starting pitcher. In fact, I wanted him to come out today and make a statement that I'm coming for one of those spots in the rotation. Daniel Lynch, do what you got to do. Chris Bubich, ice up, but I'm coming. One of those spots in it. Because I know if I'm Alec Marsh, I know Cole Reagans has one. Brady Singer has another. Jordan Lyles has another. It means there are two spots open. One of those spots is going to be a camp battle. So I'm trying to steer clear. If I'm Alec Marsh, I'm trying to steer clear of that camp battle. I'm trying to secure a spot right now. So I'm hoping that happens, but if that doesn't happen, if he doesn't become a starting pitcher, Alec Marsh, I think, could be a dominating reliever. But to your question, any other pitchers that they're going to move to the bullpen? Not that I know of, and I don't believe now's the time you do that. That's my opinion. I think you do that over the course of a season. I think right now, if you believe an arm like a Champlain, well, you mentioned Veneziano, you mentioned the kid from up in St. Joe, Noah Cameron. If you believe there's something in there that could be a starting pitcher, you give it an off season, and then you give it spring training, and if they could earn a spot in the rotation, whether that's Omaha or Kansas City, or earn a spot in the bullpen as a bulk guy, as a long reliever, keep those arms stretched out. Champlain, to me, he's a guy that I want in that camp battle next season. Noah Cameron, I'm hoping that he can make a jump to you know, putting up numbers at AAA, possibly, next season. But when you're still at the AA level, in my opinion, when you're 24 or younger, pitching at the AA level, starting games right now, I'm going to keep you as a starting pitcher going into the offseason, going into spring training, and then we can adjust. Because it's kind of a slow decline, right? Most pitchers, when they come out of high school or college, whenever they're drafted, international, whenever, most pitchers are signed as starters, right? Most are. Well, when you're 18, 19, 20, you're signed as a starting pitcher. And, man, we can dream on that. I remember dreaming on Carlos Hernandez. And then after a while, the production or the performance tells the story. And you go, okay, I guess you don't have what it takes either health-wise, heart-wise, head-wise. You don't have what it takes to take the ball every fifth day and give this team a chance to win five consistent innings, something like that. Okay, so we can't rely on you to be that. The next step down is a closer. Right. Well, let's take that great stuff that we wanted to see showcased over six strong innings. Okay, well, we'll just dwindle that down to one inning where you just let it eat. The best that you have, you go attack those hitters. The next step down is a closer. The next step down after that is a high leverage reliever. And then it's an arm in the bullpen. So it's really a slow decline. You talk about the bullpen being a collection of failed starters. It's not a slam on a bullpen arm. It's just a fact that most guys start off dreaming of being a starting pitcher. Most organizations sign arms dreaming about that guy being a starting pitcher, and then it's a slow decline that ultimately leads many of them to being just guys in a bullpen trying to stay in the show, fighting for their life, trying to live out this dream of being a big leaguer. So Champlain, and certainly no to Champlain, in my opinion. You know, Veneziano's 26. He is left-handed, so you're going to give that a little bit longer, and you're going to stretch that career out, whether that's a starter or a reliever. But again, now wouldn't be the time for me. Veneziano would be the one that I would point to, much like TJ Sikkema. There's the ability to get outs. It's coming from the left side. It's a guy that's seen a lot, that's pitched a lot down in the minor leagues. That could be something that this organization goes for over the course of 2024. Maybe it happens during spring training, but I think you want to keep a guy stretched out while he is going into the offseason. Thanks for the phone call, John. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals take the series on the south side of Chicago. They win the finale 7-1, the final score. Steven Cruz serving as the opener tonight. I mentioned it. Two hits in two scoreless innings. Four strikeouts. He gets Luis Robert and Gavin Sheets swinging through sliders. He blows 98 past Yoan Moncada, and he gets Andrew Vaughn as well in that three-strikeout second inning. Steven Cruz became the 22nd different pitcher to start a game for the Royals this year. No team has used more since Connie Mack's Philadelphia A's back in 1915. Dead serious. 108 years ago was the last time a team used more starting pitchers, openers, starters, whatever. Different people started the game on the mound for the Royals. More people this year than any team since 1915. My game notes brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We'll take a dive into the text line after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The 1-2, Garcia runs. Salvi pokes it toward right center field. Down for a base hit. Lofton's in to score. Garcia gets to third. Wilson holds him there. An RBI single for Salvador Perez.
Jake Eisenberg on the call. One of two RBI from Salvi tonight. That RBI knock there in the seventh inning to put the Royals up 5-0. They would go on to win 7-1. Salvi driving in the fifth run and driving in the seventh run. Hits into a strange 4-6-3 ground out. White Sox went for the double play. They were unable to get Bobby Witt Jr. at second base, which allowed Nick Lofton to come in and score the seventh Royals run, his second run of the night. Royals win 7-1. They take the series from the White Sox. Royals on pace to finish the year 51-111. That is bad. It's awful. But there was a time where it looked like they were going to lose like a $1.20. Now, they can still lose 116, so you know what? Nobody spike a football just yet about 111 losses. Salvi, one of three Royals with multiple hits tonight. Nick Lofton, Salvi, and Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby with his 46th multi-hit game of the season. Only 10 players in baseball have more multi-hit games this year. Bobby also with a pair of stolen bases. He now has 44 bags on the year. Only 8 players in Royals history have stolen more bases in a season. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Dan and KCK is loving on Michael Massey as Massey opened the scoring with that 2-run home run. I'll be honest with you, that's what Massey's got to do. He's got to hit for X. He doesn't have to hit bombs. But if he's not going to walk, if he's not going to hit for a high average, you got to hit for power. I believe you got to hit for power. Extra base power. Or else you might be staring a platoon in the face in 2024. Dan, appreciate you listening. Back to the text line. From the 816, Gabe in Independence. Vern, I was hoping that when Nick Prado went down to AAA from his injury, he would, do a little reset. But that appears not to have happened. So as Rex Hudler would say, Prado, you gotta go. Prado tonight, 1-for-2. A strikeout and a single. That single in the fifth inning snapped an 0-for-8. Prado was 0-for-8 since returning from Omaha. 0-for-8 with 7 strikeouts. Well, I don't know where he's going to go, Gabe. Because he's not all that appealing if you're another team attempting to acquire a first baseman. That's not the guy you're going to target. The Royals are not going to cut bait with him just yet. How can you when Vinny's banged up? Let's see Vinny perform, let's see Vinny return healthy. Let's see Nick Prado build up trade value, and then possibly he could go. But right now, the only place to go is the offseason, back to work. Because right now it's tough to watch him. I mean, the guy just goes up there and leaves the bat on his shoulders. On his shoulder, rather. Not both of them. He's only taken one bat. But leaves the bat on his shoulder and looks like he doesn't know the point of the game. Like he got a swing. That's tough to watch. So hopefully Nick Prado gets a nice little reset, a healthy 2024. A few guys could really benefit from that. From the 816, Ryan in Pleasant Hill reaching out. Vern, Nick Lofton is impressing me. It's almost like he doesn't know he's a rookie. He's just playing baseball. It's been fun to watch. Yeah, it certainly has been fun to watch, Ryan. And yeah, you know what? I'm with that. He doesn't carry him. He's not, how about this? He's not timid. He's attacking every at-bat, every defensive play. You're not seeing Nick Lofton give way to anyone else or defer to a teammate, right, in the field. He's trying to make something happen offensively, and he certainly has. Again, tonight, 2-for-2, 2 runs scored, 2 runs driven in. From the 816, Vern, who's a solid player you would like to add as a leader if we move Salvador Perez? It's a good question. I haven't identified a token leader that I'm looking to bring in if you move Salvi. Honestly, I'm looking at the guys that are already here. I'm looking at Bobby and Michael and Vinny and Brady and Cole Reagans. I'm looking internally. Because who from the outside is going to walk in here? Now, a veteran could walk in and command respect. And you know, Bobby and MJ and these guys will listen to the advice, of course. But this is their clubhouse. If Salvi moves on, this is their franchise. You're not going to bring in Freddie Freeman, right? You're not going to bring in one of those franchise-changing players. That's not going to happen. You can have your Raul Ibanez, your win one for the Gipper type of player. But if Salvi moves on, this just becomes Bobby's franchise.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The 1-2, Garcia runs. Salvi pokes it toward right center field. Down for a base hit. Lofton's in to score. Garcia gets to third. Wilson holds him there. An RBI single for Salvador Perez.
Jake Eisenberg on the call. One of two RBI from Salvi tonight. That RBI knock there in the seventh inning to put the Royals up 5-0. They would go on to win 7-1. Salvi driving in the fifth run and driving in the seventh run. Hits into a strange 4-6-3 ground out. White Sox went for the double play. They were unable to get Bobby Witt Jr. at second base, which allowed Nick Lofton to come in and score the seventh Royals run, his second run of the night. Royals win 7-1. They take the series from the White Sox. Royals on pace to finish the year 51-111. That is bad. It's awful. But there was a time where it looked like they were going to lose like a $1.20. Now, they can still lose 116, so you know what? Nobody spike a football just yet about 111 losses. Salvi, one of three Royals with multiple hits tonight. Nick Lofton, Salvi, and Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby with his 46th multi-hit game of the season. Only 10 players in baseball have more multi-hit games this year. Bobby also with a pair of stolen bases. He now has 44 bags on the year. Only 8 players in Royals history have stolen more bases in a season. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Dan and KCK is loving on Michael Massey as Massey opened the scoring with that 2-run home run. I'll be honest with you, that's what Massey's got to do. He's got to hit four extra. He doesn't have to hit bombs. But if he's not going to walk, if he's not going to hit for a high average, you got to hit for power. I believe you got to hit for power. Extra base power. Or else you might be staring a platoon in the face in 2024. Dan, appreciate you listening. Back to the text line. From the 816, Gabe and Independence. Vern, I was hoping that when Nick Prado went down to AAA from his injury, he would, do a little reset. But that appears not to have happened. So as Rex Hudler would say, Prado, you gotta go. Prado tonight, 1-for-2. A strikeout and a single. That single in the fifth inning snapped an 0-for-8. Prado was 0-for-8 since returning from Omaha. 0-for-8 with 7 strikeouts. Well, I don't know where he's going to go, Gabe. Because he's not all that appealing if you're another team attempting to acquire a first baseman. That's not the guy you're going to target. The Royals are not going to cut bait with him just yet. How can you when Vinny's banged up? Let's see Vinny perform, let's see Vinny return healthy. Let's see Nick Prado build up trade value, and then possibly he could go. But right now, the only place to go is the offseason, back to work. Because right now it's tough to watch him. I mean, the guy just goes up there and leaves the bat on his shoulders. On his shoulder, rather. Not both of them. He's only taken one bat. But leaves the bat on his shoulder and looks like he doesn't know the point of the game. Like he got a swing. It's tough to watch. So hopefully Nick Prado gets a nice little reset, a healthy 2024. A few guys could really benefit from that. From the 816, Ryan in Pleasant Hill reaching out. Vern, Nick Lofton is impressing me. It's almost like he doesn't know he's a rookie. He's just playing baseball. It's been fun to watch. Yeah, it certainly has been fun to watch, Ryan. And yeah, you know what? I'm with that. He doesn't carry him. He's not, how about this? He's not timid. He's attacking every at-bat, every defensive play. You're not seeing Nick Lofton give way to anyone else or defer to a teammate right, in the field. He's trying to make something happen offensively, and he certainly has. Again, tonight, 2 for 2, 2 runs scored, 2 runs driven in. From the 816, Vern, who's a solid player you would like to add as a leader if we move Salvador Perez? It's a good question. I haven't identified a token leader that I'm looking to bring in if you move Salvi. Honestly, I'm looking at the guys that are already here. I'm looking at Bobby and Michael and Vinny and Brady and Cole Reagans. I'm looking internally because who from the outside is going to walk in here? Now, a veteran could walk in and command respect, and you know, Bobby and MJ and these guys will listen to the advice, of course, but this is their clubhouse. If Salvi moves on, this is their franchise. You're not going to bring in Freddie Freeman, right? You're not going to bring in one of those franchise-changing players. That's not going to happen. You can have your Raul Ibanez, your win-one-for-the-Gipper type of player. But if Salvi moves on, this just becomes Bobby's franchise. Text line 913-586-7610. Rally Mantis is already ready for the, quote, cheaters to come to town. The cheaters, of course, being the Houston Astros. Okay. Yeah, I've kind of gotten over that, especially when they won the World Series last year. You got to move past that and appreciate that team. Appreciate your Don Alvarez and Alex Bregman. I enjoy watching them. Yeah, Raj from the Ozarks. Vern, a hot Astros team's going to be fun to watch go up against Bobby and Michael Massey and Michael Garcia. Yeah, no doubt. Because that's a team with a lot to play for. Houston opens up a 3-game series with the Royals coming up on Friday. Houston enters play tomorrow, taking a look at the American League West standings. They're a game up on the Texas Rangers. So when they get here Friday, they're going to be playing for keeps. Back to the text line, 913-586-7610. Anthony in Blue Springs. Vern, Nick Lofton looks like a big league hitter in his approach in just about every one of his at-bats. The moment never appears too big for him. Yeah, you're right. Vern, I heard his story. He's been around this environment a long time. I'd be interested to see what he could do in a full season. Yeah, no doubt, Anthony. I think we're all curious. Curious what he can do and curious where he plays. That's why I mentioned the idea of a platoon there at second base. Him and Michael Massey. I'm not saying that's ideal, but how else does Nick Lofton get on the field? Corner outfield, does he split time with MJ? Split time with Drew Waters? How does he get on the field? After the game, Nick Lofton spoke on the field with Joel Goldberg of Bally Sports Kansas City and spoke about that pinch hit. Seventh inning, Royals up 2-0, man on first and second with one out. Nick Lofton comes off the bench, a 10-pitch battle, which he falls behind 1-2. 7 pitches later, he offers and basically lets go of the back bat. I mean, literally throws the bat at the ball. His top hand comes off. His bottom hand almost releases the bat, and it just kind of bloops out into shallow left field. It scores Drew Waters. It put the Royals ahead 3-0. They would win 7-1. Here's what Nick Lofton had to say about that RBI pinch hit single in the seventh inning to Joel Goldberg on Bally Sports Kansas City. Let's hear from Nick Lofton as the Royals win 7-1. Lofton 2 for 2 on the day. Here's him after the game again with the aforementioned Joel Goldberg.
I got on first and I was like, wow, that was amazing. I'm glad that ended the way it did. Anytime you can come up in a pinch hit situation and get a knock and an RBI at the same time, it's a big win.
How hard is that, though, too? I mean, oftentimes pinch hitters want to come in and just seek that first pitch, or you're cold, and it ends up being 10 pitches. Are you feeling the momentum building?
Oh, absolutely. That was my first pinch hit. Actually, I lied. That's my second one. I had one in the minor leagues. But, yeah, that's – I mean, you go up there, nerves are – your adrenaline's going, the nerves are pumping, and you just go up there and you compete. I mean, that's all I went up there with my mindset is get a pitch that I can handle. I got several fouling back, but, you know, like I said, it ended in the way it did, and I was very thankful for it.
Four of the Royals' seven runs come from the bottom of the lineup. Two runs scored from Nick Lofton, two runs scored from Kyle Isbell. Isbell has now scored a run in four straight starts in five of his last six games. All right, quickly, a few more from the text line. The Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Katie on the East Coast is excited about Nick Lofton. Appreciate you listening. Another one here from the 816. Vern Henry Williams has been throwing the ball well, speaking of the minor leagues. Well, the A-ball season, Quad Cities and Columbia, both A-ball teams have seen their seasons come to an end. And yeah, Henry Williams, the 21-year-old right-hander the Royals got from the Padres in the Scott Barlow deal, he did perform well. He made five starts down at low A. 23 strikeouts in 24 innings, an ERA below 3.5. The only team really interesting right now of the minor league affiliates is Double A. The Double A team, boy, needs to win. They have a tragic number of 3 with 5 games to play. They're in the 11th inning right now, trailing by 1 down to their final 2 outs. So big game for AA Northwest Arkansas. All right, and finally from the 913, Vern, are any Royals going to have a chance at end of the year awards? Like what? I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to win Royals Player of the Year. Either maybe Cole Reagans is going to win Royals Pitcher of the Year. Is it Reagans for 2 months, or is it Singer because he's at least gone through all 6 months? I mean, other than that, no. Well, MVP, of course, not. Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, Michael Garcia, no, that's not going to happen. Silver Slugger, no. I think Corey Seager is going to get the Silver Slugger at shortstop. So you're not going to get that. A Gold Glove? I don't think you'll get a Gold Glove. Bobby's going to come the closest, but I don't think he'll get it. No. I don't see the Royals getting any sort of hardware. Bobby Witt Jr. Maybe something for Bob. I don't know. Maybe he can get that Gold Glove. I don't know. I don't think so. Royals win the game 7-1, but no, they're not going to win any end-of-the-year awards. I don't believe so. What they can do is hurt another team's end-of-the-season dreams, like the Houston Astros and their starting pitcher, Christian Javier, who makes the start coming up in Friday's opener. We're going to see Cole Reagans this weekend pitch against Houston. That's going to be fun. We're going to watch the Royals offense face Framber Valdez on Sunday. That should be fun? Fun. Thanks to Grant Nicholson for the help back at the studio. I hope you had fun. That's what I really care about. Thanks for listening. Royals win 7-1. I'll talk to you on Friday from Kauffman Stadium. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
10 strikeouts through 7 scoreless innings for Brady Singer.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled